Impacting Rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
If you're 55 or older and into that whole saving money thing, T-Mobile has an exclusive phone and internet bundle just for you. Right now, get two unlimited phone lines plus 5G home internet for just $30 each per month with autopay, plus taxes and fees. And with 5G home internet, setup is easy with just one cord and no technician needed, which is great if you're also into that whole keeping it simple thing. Switch now and experience the best mobile network in the U.S. Visit your local store to start saving. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, Q4 2024 to Q1 2025, Ookla trademarks used under license. Unlimited on our network. Customers on voice plan may notice speeds lower than other customers and further reduction if using more than 50 gigs a month due to data prioritization. Video streams and SD on this plan. Home internet pricing after $20 a monthly bill credit plus $5 per line without autopay. Debit or bank account required. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A weaker-than-expected jobs report for July and downward revisions for May and June. President Trump is blaming the commissioner of the Bureau of Labor Statistics, saying he should be fired. ABC's Karen Travers is at the White House.
He is saying it's because of his frustration with those jobs revisions. The new numbers now for the May and June jobs report. The president taking issue with this and also making an accusation with no evidence behind it that there were fake numbers put out last year during the election season.
Since taking office, President Trump has touted the labor statistics jobs report showing an increase in monthly jobs. Santa Barbara police say three people were stabbed in an overnight attack and one victim has died. Police say a suspect is in custody and says it appears the incident began as a fight. And Tennessee authorities are searching for a man accused of killing three adults and a teen. Police say the suspect is armed and dangerous. This is ABC News. The Smithsonian has made changes to its impeachment exhibit. ABC's Stephen Portnoy has details.
The National Museum of American History's exhibit on impeachment features a burglarized Watergate filing cabinet and a copy of the Starr Report, which led to the House's charges against Bill Clinton. Up until last month, the exhibit also featured a temporary label referencing Donald Trump's two impeachments. That label has now been removed. The Smithsonian says the exhibit needs an overhaul, and until it can be updated, it's been restored to the way it appeared in 2008. Statement says the updated exhibit will mention all impeachments.
The Bureau of Prisons confirming to ABC News it's moved Jeffrey Epstein's co-conspirator Ghislaine Maxwell from a federal minimum security prison in Florida to a federal prison camp in Texas. She's serving a 20-year sentence for sex trafficking. In Florida, SpaceX blasted off earlier today.
Carrying
NASA's Crew 11 astronauts to the International Space Station. It comes after yesterday's launch was scrubbed due to weather. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Progressive's AutoQuote Explorer lets you easily compare direct rates from different insurance companies so you can be confident you're getting the right one, even if it's not with Progressive. Way more confident than you were when you tried online gaming. Who knew 12-year-old boys could be so mean?
And where did they learn to swear like that? 2 hours of losing to these underage trash talkers, and you're starting to question if maybe you really should stick to pickleball and other boomer stuff.
So use Progressive's AutoQuote Explorer and be confident you're getting insurance that's right for you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Lowe's knows hot deals help you get the most out of summer. Get up to 30% off select major appliances and get it delivered as soon as next day. Plus, get up to 30% off select patio furniture, grills, outdoor power equipment, and more. These end-of-season savings won't last long. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 7:30. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Valid on eligible in-stock orders in select locations. Price, delivery time, and vehicle availability may vary based on order size and location. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com/delivery for more details.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayling. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security is accusing Dane County of not honoring ICE arrest detainers.
Dane County Sheriff Calvin Barrett is responding to the criticism concerning an undocumented woman accused in the deaths of two Minnesota teens. 30-year-old Noelia Martinez of Portage is facing two counts of homicide by drunk driving for the deadly wrong-way crash on the interstate near DeForest in the early morning hours of July 20th. Homeland Security is critical of the sheriff's office for not complying complying with their request for an ICE hold if Martinez posts her bond. Sheriff Barrett says an ICE detainer is a request, not a judicial warrant, and he argues that deporting Martinez is like a get-out-of-jail-free card. Robin Colbert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Second of two girls who nearly killed a classmate to please a fictional character will be conditionally released.
A release plan for now 22-year-old Morgan Geiser was approved Thursday by Waukesha County Judge Scott Wagner. Geiser was committed to a mental health institute in 2014 for stabbing a classmate alongside an accomplice to please the internet urban legend Slenderman when all three girls were 12 years old. Under the release, Geiser will be on GPS tracking at a group home under state supervision. The location of the group home will not be released for her safety. A previous attempt to release Geiser was halted because she would have been too close to the victim. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Sentencing is scheduled today for the man convicted in the murder of Sade Robinson. 34-year-old Maxwell Anderson faces a life sentence as he learns his fate in what will likely be an emotional day in Milwaukee County Court. It took a jury less than an hour of deliberation in June to convict Anderson of first-degree intentional homicide, mutilation of a corpse, and arson in the horrific April 2024 death of the 19-year-old woman. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 80% of young producers said they get their most important agriculture information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you are in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Areas of wildfire smoke still sticking around in spots, otherwise mostly sunny skies and highs a bit more mild, flirting with 80. Winds are barely moving, and overnight tonight, patchy fog is possible. And tomorrow, blue skies are expected with highs scraping the low 80s. Grandpa's barbecue sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
Produced by Farm and Ranch Media. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, hello and welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Good to have you along with us for the conversation. As always, I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up on the show today, we are going to talk markets in just a moment with Kyle Bumstead from Allendale. Up in segment two, we're going to have a conversation with the president of the U.S. High Bush Blueberry Council. Casey Cronquist will join us. Also in segment three, we're going to talk sustainable aviation fuel and have a chat with Jackie Fatka from CoBank, their lead economist for farm supply and biofuels. Be good to welcome her back to the show. And then at the end in segment four, we're going to hear from Jerry Hagstrom with the Hagstrom Report, get an update on D.C. politics and more as we head into the August recess. So a lot to get to here today on AOA. Let's kick things off and talk markets. Kyle Bumstead with Allendale joining us here. Kyle, good to welcome you back to the show. And, you know, I got to ask from the jump, cattle on Thursday, we closed out the month with a fair amount of volatility in futures. Friday, starting a new month, heading into the weekend, a little bit of green early. What did you make of some of that volatility we saw in Thursday's cattle trade, Kyle?
Well, it looked to me like a lot of short covering going on here, some profit taking here by these non-commercials. It just looked to me like it was some month-end position squaring is what I'm trying to say. Looking at things here today here, starting off on Friday here, we're pretty steady in the fats. August leading the charge here, and it should because cash has been higher, obviously. We're trading a higher cash here again this morning. So looking at things, we're trading at 245 to 247 here in the north. We've traded some as high as 240 in the south in Kansas, but those are going to regional here in Nebraska. So the cash market is still higher. It is still in an uptrend as far as the cash market goes. So it looks to me like a lot of yesterday and even this morning here looks to be some profit taking and some folks that are getting nervous here trying to hedge. Now, What makes me a little bit leery about jumping on the short side right now is the spreads are going nuts this morning here as far as on a Friday. You've got August gaining on the October by about $1.22, $1.25 right now. That spread's at 590 over. October versus Dece is gaining 15 cents today. Dece versus Feb's gaining a nickel, and so is the Feb versus April. So you've got commercial buying in here on this sell-off because cash is higher out in the country, but you've got the futures selling off here, taking some profit here as far as getting out of some of their length. Now, same thing in the feeder cattle. That feeder cattle index isn't slowing down either by any means. It looks like it's going to be up another 88 cents today. And at the rate it's going, you could be seeing this feeder cattle index knocking on 340 here at some point in time next week. So as far as to get real bearish because the fundamentals shifted, that's really not the case here as far as the feeders of the live cattle go. We're just seeing, like I said, some profit taking, but all the feeder cattle spreads are gaining as well. You've got August gaining on the SEP gaining on the OCC, and OCC gaining on the NOVE. So it looks to me like, the rally was getting long in the tooth, and it looked like it needed some sort of a correction or a setback or some profit taking at some point here. And it looks like yesterday and today, that's kind of what they're doing.
Any credence to the tariffs and the trade deals and all those headlines playing into this cattle market? You know, I heard some chatter that, you know, the talk of this tariff on Brazil and possibly lower Brazilian beef imports could be something that we need to watch in this broader cattle trade. I mean, what's your thoughts on some of this, Kyle?
Yeah, those are definitely things we need to watch, but I mean, the fundamental picture hasn't changed as far as that goes. I mean, we're still kind of fighting with the border down south. Are they going to open it? Are they going to keep it closed? Going to open and keep it closed? Nobody's really got a good, clear, firm answer on that as far as the feeder cattle go. Brazil is more of a grind market anyway. That stuff goes into your hamburgers at your fast food chains mostly. So, we do have to definitely keep an eye on that, obviously. But, as far as the fundamentals go, like I said, hasn't really changed with cash being the leader here and the spreads pulling the sleigh here with the front month bull market's wearing its horns on its head here, not on its rear. So that's definitely helping things out as far as the mentality of the market. But we are due for a correction here. But I do think that those broader term tariffs and the export situation, import situation do definitely need to be watched here as far as headlines. And I think if those were, those headlines keep persisting out there, that's going to keep the algorithms moving and keep the volatility moving in this complex.
You know, we're about a week removed from the cattle on feed and the return of the July cattle inventory report. I know a lot of times those reports are a look back, and it's a lot of stuff that's usually already baked into the market in many ways. But did anything stand out to you with any of that data that came out, Kyle?
Yeah, a little bit. There was some light heifer retention. The marketing number as far as the cattle or as far as the heifer retention number on both reports did kind of I did know that there's some heifer retention going on out here, but I didn't think it was that much yet. And then on the marketings here for the live cattle, looked to me like it was a little bit poor because we had an extra marketing day here this year versus last year. So, they ran it all the way up into that report and ran it after the report. Now looks to me, like I said, taking some profit, taking some length off the table here, and maybe just bank a little bit and see what happens here as we move forward here. Box beef is still one that we're watching here. It wouldn't surprise me if box beef does try to find some sort of support here over the next week or so, maybe gain a couple dollars here next week, and then see how we get through that Labor Day, once we're through that Labor Day procurement, where things go from there.
How about over on the grain trade, especially corn? You know, corn's been trying to hold, Dece above the $4 mark. You got SEP below the $4 mark on the board. But I think about, corn into the feed bunk, for instance. I got to think that's the cheap prices there beneficial to folks looking for, cheap cattle feed potentially. I mean, what's your thoughts on the grain markets right now, particularly in the corn trade?
Well, particularly in corn, there's some things that are kind of moving around out there. Obviously, the commercials are happy with the size crop we have on. That Dece versus March has plenty of carry there. Your 17 cents, that kept making new lows here last week. I'm not saying it's turned up, but it stopped making new lows here this week for now. But I am looking further out there, that March, May, and May, July spread. Those spreads have kind of gotten to somewhat of a neutral stance here as far as the market goes. So longer term, there might be something brewing out there, but just nothing up front. I mean, we've got a big crop. A lot of folks are talking about the issues with the pollination and things like that, but the market's not going to see that. So it may not be a production issue that the commercials are worried about here. Obviously, we are going to raise a big crop, but they may not be seeing the demand on the backside. And that's something that we can't see, but we can see that through the spreads. We can't see it physically with our eyes like we can the crop or the pollination issues, but we can see, you know, we can see through the spreads that there might be some issues longer term out there.
And I know when it comes to soybeans too, a lot of times we talk about this, that August is the month that soybeans are made. So it could be an interesting couple of weeks, I would say, in that soybean complex, Kyle.
Well, it could be, but I do want to stress this. A lot of folks plant soybeans before corn. So is the bean crop already getting made right now? And they say, well, you know, August is the bean month. Maybe July was the bean month, because a lot of these beans got stuck in the ground a month earlier than they normally do. And so I've been looking at some beans, and they're ahead of schedule, I mean, as far as that goes. So we do need to keep our eyes on that. Maybe the bean crop's getting made too with these rains. So that's something here that a lot of folks aren't talking about, is we've been planting soybeans earlier and earlier. And maybe we're shifting that window a little bit earlier as well on the calendar.
That's a good thing to think about. We'll leave it at that. Kyle Bumstead with Allendale. Always good to hear from you, sir. Thanks for joining us today on AOA. We'll talk to you again soon.
You bet. Thank you, sir.
Coming up next, we're going to have a conversation with the U.S. Highbush Blueberry Council. We'll talk with Casey Cronquist. Coming up next here on AOA Agriculture of America.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Your car has the power to help save lives. An unwanted or unused car in almost any condition. Discover how donating your car can make a lasting impact in the fight against breast cancer. Can there be a world where breast cancer is a thing of the past? That world may be within reach, and your car donation can help us get there. Simply call 1-800-778-4167. Your donation will support Susan G. Komen's vital work in research, care, community, and action. Your contribution fuels groundbreaking research, supports patients and their families, and raises awareness about prevention and early detection. Donating your unwanted or unused car is simple and fast. We take care of everything, including a free pickup and all the paperwork at your convenience. Call 1-800-778-4167. And the best part? Your donation qualifies for a tax deduction. Remember, your car donation has the power to transform lives, providing hope and healing to those affected by this devastating disease. So why wait? Call 1-800-778-4167. Help accelerate the cure for breast cancer. Your wheels, their hope.
Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why Farm and Ranch Media and our brands, American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk, are here to provide you with the latest news and information that impacts your operation. We'll keep you up to date with the latest market information, ag news, weather, and more from here at home and around the world. Thanks for listening, and stay farm informed with Farm and Ranch Media.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And as we continue here today on Agriculture of America, let's talk blueberries. That's something we haven't touched on very much here on the show, but it's an important part of our U.S. agriculture economy. Here to talk with us about a new economic report that does look at how blueberries add to the American economy and more, he is the president of the U.S. High Bush Blueberry Council. Joining us today, Casey Cronquist. And Casey, it is great to have you join us here on AOA. How are you, sir?
Hey, great. Thanks for having me, Jesse. Doing well.
Well, I'd love, just to start, can you give folks some background on the U.S. High Bush Blueberry Council?
Yeah, I think for most folks, they'll recognize the council as another agriculture checkoff. Those who are familiar with those, we're an instrumentality of USDA. We're a research and promotion program, and in fact, celebrating our 25th anniversary this year. So we represent growers, blueberry growers throughout the country, importers as well, and have been a large part of growing the category over the last 25 years through health research, data and insights, and certainly our promotion programs, which people are probably pretty familiar with.
All right. Well, I want to talk about this new report specifically contributing a huge amount of economic impact, I would say, to the U.S. economy. We're talking billions of dollars here, Casey. Can you give us a little bit of background on this new report that details this sizable economic impact that blueberries have on the economy?
Yeah, well, look, blueberries are a big deal. And I think what this report is trying to contextualize for everyone is just how big it's become. And so this recent report, it's the second time we've done this, is indicating that we are now eclipsing $9 billion in economic impact to our economy, which translates to jobs, it translates to labor income, indirect business taxes, all those things that we talk about every day in the news on why this type of thing is important. And I don't think blueberries are recognized just naturally as one of those crops or one of those commodities that that drive such value. So for those of us who are in the business, and certainly for our growers who represent this economic impact, this report helps to detail out just not only collectively what do we represent, this latest report showing $9.1 billion. And again, Jesse, that's a tremendous growth from the last time we did this report. So the last time we did this report looking at just the domestic producers, we were at $4.7 billion. That group's grown to $6.7 billion in 5 years. So you're seeing an additional $2 billion generated to the economy. And this latest report, we added in the four primary countries that bring imported product into the United States during our counter season. And that adds another $2.4 billion to the U.S. economy. Again, which just highlights how important this category is to the economy, certainly to consumers who love blueberries. But most importantly, what it represents is the value we bring to the communities in which we grow and operate. And I think this report really tells that story.
Well, I would say the amount of blueberries that my toddler son eats right now, I'm probably contributing a sizable amount to that consumer side of this. And I know, too, the report, there's some key states where we see a large economic impact as well. You guys broke some of that down. Can you talk about just some of the various state impacts here as well, Casey?
Sure. Well, look, I again, this is one of those opportunities where I'm not sure people realize how big Washington State is in blueberry production. Last year, they harvested over 200 million pounds. So Washington's known for a lot of things. I'm not sure that blueberry is what comes top of mind for people. This report really helps to just contextualize again. They did over 200 million pounds last year. They're the largest producing state in the United States. And what this report shows is they generate over $710 million a year in economic impact. They represent over 10,000 jobs. And also, when you dig into the report, what you find interesting about how the dollars are generated and spent within these communities, Georgia is the third largest producing state in terms of pounds, and yet they are the largest contributor to their economy in terms of the blueberry sector. So they are the largest economic contributor. They have over $900 million annually being generated and over 7,000 jobs. So when you kind of dig into the report to kind of compare notes and And I like to do that for that kind of just sense of competitive sense. How's everybody doing out there? This report pulls out a lot of great information that I think really speaks highly of our growers in these regions, the work they're doing, and how that dollar circulates throughout the communities that they operate in. Again, creating those jobs, creating those business taxes, generating that labor income that we all count on for our restaurants or groceries, all those things that help make an economy tick.
We're talking with the president of the U.S. High Bush Blueberry Council, Casey Cronquist, here on AOA. And, you know, I know there's a piece of this report, too, that looked at some of our trade partners just to meet some of that large consumer demand. You think about Canada, Chile, Mexico, Peru. We do get imports from those countries to go with U.S. supplies. And, you know, that makes me wonder if there's any concern from you and the organization with the current administration's tariff trade strategy having an adverse impact on specialty crops like blueberries. I mean, it's the talk of the town right now as we're getting into August here and we're seeing all these new tariffs and so much more. So I guess from your perspective, is there concern with what we're seeing and how this could impact things moving forward?
Sure. I think like all of us in agriculture, we're watching this very closely. There's concern and opportunity in all this. You know, for us as domestic producers, you know, we're working really hard to try and create access in places that we don't have. We have barriers, you know, and tariffs, and we're not competitive in some of these other countries. Likewise, you know, we depend on a counter-seasonal supply. Why? Because blueberries are seasonal. Our season in the United States is going to wrap up end of September, probably early October, and in order to meet the needs, essentially the demand of consumers, because they love blueberries, we're going to have imported product in order to meet that expectation. And that's true for every country around the world. It's a seasonal crop. We want access to other countries like other countries want access to our country. And that's something that we're going to have to continue to work through. What I would say is opportunities. Why? Because we haven't seen the horizon line on just how much consumers love blueberries. And so we're going to continue to see demand grow, and we're going to need to continue to meet that volume of production in order to meet that demand. And so we're working really hard to stay ahead of that supply curve as the USHBC. That's our job. And we're counting on both our domestic growers and our importers to be able to meet the expectations of these consumers. And so I'll stop there, but that to me is where there's both opportunity, and it's certainly we're watching to see how some of these trade deals play out.
Well, I appreciate your thoughts on that. You know, meeting the expectations of consumers. I did see this note earlier this week that USHBC, you guys have launched a new consumer marketing campaign. Can you tell just a little bit about that, Casey?
Yeah, well, it goes right into just how big this industry has become. Our campaign is Go Big. And we are we're really bullish on what we think blueberries are going to continue to deliver for consumers. I think people know about the health benefits of blueberries. We know through our consumer research how much they love blueberries for their health. But there's so much more. And that's why when you think about the snacking category or you think about where blueberries can be in different parts of the day part, we do really well in the morning. We have a lot of people using blueberries during the breakfast period, of course. But we're seeing opportunities and certainly creating occasions in other parts of the day that are getting people to think about blueberries as a snack, as a healthy alternative in the evening for things that consumers haven't really considered blueberries for. And so this Go Big campaign is encouraging consumers to go big. Certainly we want our industry to go big. And again, I think it highlights just the growing momentum we have as a category in where blueberries can be a part of everybody's everyday use. And so this campaign is intended to help drive that attention to, I think, a narrative out there that blueberries are a big deal. And we want to be a part of every part of the day part, and certainly encouraging consumers to think of increasing occasions where blueberries can be a part of their life.
Well, we really appreciate the conversation. We're getting up against the clock here, Casey, but I know folks can go online, ushbc.blueberry.org for more information, or you can go to blueberry.org for more information. And until next time, we do appreciate the time and the insight. President of the U.S. High Bush Blueberry Council, Casey Cronquist, thanks for joining us here on Agriculture of America, Casey, and we'll talk to you again real soon, okay?
All right. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Great stuff there. And again, blueberries, just a huge economic impact on the U.S. economy. And it's really cool to see. And you can check out that full report again on their website, ushbc.blueberry.org. Coming up next here on AOA, we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk about some of the latest news surrounding sustainable aviation fuel. Jackie Fatka, lead economist for farm supply and biofuels at CoBank, will join us for a conversation coming up next on AOA.
Hey, y'all, I'm Kelly Clarkson. Every American dreams of creating a better life for his or her family, but in some communities, those dreams face difficult challenges. When we come together to help those in need get the same opportunities as everyone else, we truly are making our country a better place to live for all of us. So look for volunteer opportunities in your community to help others achieve the American dream, all right? This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Milk markets were mostly higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, September milk up 13 to 17.73, October up 9 to 18.16, November up 4 to 18.24, December down 3 at 18.08. Meanwhile, triple-digit gains in most of the live and feeder cattle markets after the cash markets started to finally develop, as the cash markets were $3 higher than last week. That helping to support the live cattle market. Feeder cattle markets also mostly higher. Again, that strong demand in the countryside really is what continues to drive the market. Hog markets also mostly higher as traders were pleased with the uptick in pork demand, as the trade is starting to establish a new bottom in the market for the current move. August live cattle up 235 to 230.12. August feeder cattle up 320 to 334.57. August hogs up 22 cents to 107.35. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets lower. Soybeans were relatively flat to slightly higher. Wheat markets, though, they were mostly lower on the day, as the trade still really watching the weather. And the positive weather is really what's driving the markets. Now, again, the grain markets are factoring in the large crop. But the question is, will final year yields be even larger than what the trade is actually thinking? New crop corn down 3 to 4.10¾. New crop beans steady at 9.89¼. September wheat down 6.5.
You've got so much glorious summer to fill. What are you going to do with it? Easy answer, do it your way at MOA. Do it up with Nickelodeon Universe's Ultimate Summer Party, Dora's 25th Anniversary Celebration, slimy fun events and hair-raising rides. Do Crayola Experience for the littlest ones. And here's a bright idea. Do it smart with MOA attraction bundles and the no-worries 72 degrees and sunny forecast every day. That's your summer, your way, at MOA, mallofamerica.com.
You're invited to the Pierce County Fair, August 7th through the 10th at the Fairgrounds in Ellsworth.
Enjoy the Light Up the Sky drone show Thursday night at 9. A Salute to Elvis with Brad Boyce is Friday night at 7. And the Big Demo Derby is Saturday night at 5. Of course, there's all the fair animals, and Senior Day is Sunday. Enjoy the rides and fair food with Mr. Ed's Carnival all 4 days. It's food, fun, animals, and more during the Pierce County Fair, August 7th through the 10th in Ellsworth.
America's Farmers and Ranchers Need.
Welcome back as we continue here today on AOA. Let's have a conversation with Jackie Facka. She is a lead economist for Farm Supply and Biofuels at CoBank. Jackie, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I am so good. It is always such a pleasure to talk with you.
Well, we have a key topic to lean in on and get some updates on here today. Sustainable aviation fuel, SAF. And you know, Jackie, we have talked about this topic countless times, and I know since the last time we talked, we of course saw some things move in the reconciliation bill, the One Big Beautiful Bill that was signed on July 4th surrounding the 45Z tax credit and more. And so I guess set this up for us as we get into August now. What is the lay of the land in terms of sustainable aviation fuel?
Yeah, so one of the kind of the three stool that I see in being able to really get SAF to lift off is you've got to really have three different things. You have to have feedstock availability. You have to have a processor for that feedstock. And then you have to have offtake agreements. You've got to have somebody that wants to buy that, right? That's just market. That's just how the market needs to work. But there's different policies that can help with each of those different stools, each of those different legs of that stool. And being able to have those policy levers work in a way that helps really advance the overall industry. At CoBank, we obviously are very in tune with the advancement of sustainable aviation fuel. We look back at the RFS 20 years ago, and it really helped revitalize rural America. And there's a lot of hope that sustainable aviation fuel could do the same, right? We have a lot of feedstocks. We have plenty of ethanol. But the problem with the ethanol is that the alcohol to jet SAF is actually further behind than the HEFA process, which the HEFA process is the same feedstocks that could be used for renewable diesel. So we are seeing the fact that some of those renewable diesel facilities are able to toggle back and forth between SAF and renewable diesel. But some of those changes that happened in not only the 45Z program, but also the RFS, some of those changes are creating some different incentives today on whether we should be producing renewable diesel at those facilities or whether we produce SAF.
Thinking about some of those facilities in particular, you know, as we were waiting for more of this certainty, I know we've had a few of those plants idled if they've already been built, or projects, you know, put on hiatus or even shut down altogether. So, I mean, as we're getting some more certainty, what about the infrastructure side of this? I mean, are we going to be able to ramp this back up here over the next several months? I mean, talk about that stool here of that leg of the stool, as you kind of put it, Jackie.
Yeah, so, you know, just last week I was reading through, you know, we have some new financial insight from some of the companies that are operating that space. So there's a handful of companies that are able to run either renewable diesel or SAF. Now, I want to also just note that it costs about two or three times as much to produce SAF that it does to produce renewable diesel. So that's why some of these tax credits are so important, not only the tax credit, the 45Z, but also the renewable fuel standard, what is generated with a RIN, California's low carbon fuel standard. And then also, you know, some states are doing that too. So you stack on top all of these different incentives that drive whether a company is going to decide, okay, am I going to run renewable diesel or am I going to run SAF? The other kind of mover in this market is the fact that here domestically, it's voluntary, right? All of the airlines here are not required to include a certain level of SAF. Now, they have, some of these airlines have made promises, but nothing that's binding. Meanwhile, across the ocean in the EU, they have a 2% mandate that went into effect this year. So some of the US domestic producers are actually shipping their SAF overseas to EU to meet their demand. You know, earlier this year, I gave a presentation and I had a carrot in one hand and a stick in the other. And, you know, we don't like here in the US having a stick, a mandate, but it really does force the market to have that inclusion rate, in some ways forces everybody to chip in and do that. I mean, we don't like to think about mandates, but the RFS is a mandate. Would we ever have boomed with the ethanol industry without that mandate and the RFS? So today we've seen a little bit of slowdown in the SAF production, the SAF expansion, because of some of the uncertainty that's created around 45Z, the RFS, some of those economic tax incentives that can be stacked on to allow that to be economically viable for these plants here domestically. And, you know, also when you're looking at shipping it across the ocean again, there's an added cost to that too. So ideally they would like to be able to use that here in the US, but they've got to have offtake agreements, a desire from the companies here, those airlines here in the US, to use those as well.
Jackie Facka with CoBank joining us here today on AOA. And Jackie, you know, I saw a story this morning. One of the most important fuel suppliers in the business aviation industry is expanding its SAF network, another strategic supply point. This one's going to be in Denver, Colorado, talking about AV fuel, and there's all these different supply points and more. But, you know, you mentioned the carrot and the stick. I'll use another analogy. Are we putting the cart in front of the horse here in terms of, we have some certainty now, but we have to play catch up in some of these other areas for this all to work together and make sense when it comes to sustainable aviation fuel?
You know, I think I was just talking with our sustainability team at CoBank, and, you know, just last week, one of the members of the sustainability team was in Minnesota, and there was a meeting last week of trying to get all those different people together. Because just like you said, we can't get ahead of ourselves, but everybody has to kind of be working together. And we sometimes forget, again, I go back to the ethanol industry and what we learned with the ethanol industry. It didn't happen overnight. It took decades of, you know, policy incentives, folks working together, pre-pilot projects, pilot projects, farmers putting up, you know, $10, $20, $30, $40, $50,000 for those early plants. So we're still in very early stages of SAF. And I've said to you, there's a lot of hope, you know, a lot of hype, but we've really got to make sure that we keep that hope in tandem with those discussions together, trying to get all three of those legs of the stool working together, the policy levers that help that. You know, we're looking at, is there opportunities for creative financing coming together with trying to partner with getting some of this off the ground and really helping establish a really strong industry? Because there is a lot of hope. There is a lot of potential. We are just still several years off of really seeing this get off the ground in a really significant way beyond what it is today. Right now, we're at 0.7% of total world airline use of with SAF inclusion. You know, last year we were at 0.3%, so we're building, but we're still so much just a drop in the bucket of overall airline fuel use with SAF today.
So I wonder, from the farmer perspective, when it comes to this conversation surrounding SAF, Jackie, you've got a couple minutes here. You know, they keep hearing about it, I think, and all these different, you know, pieces. This gets approved and we're waiting on this and more. So put this into perspective for the farmer. I mean, what do they need to watch for moving forward right now? I mean, what do they need to keep in perspective, I guess?
You know, I think a few things that CoBank is watching, that I'm watching on behalf of CoBank. One big change that we saw in the legislation this summer passed out of Congress, it did take away the indirect land use penalty for corn, canola, soy, oil. So it will improve soy oil CI score and being able to utilize that. And also the RFS, the fact that we have less imported feedstocks only get 50% of RIN. So soy oil demand, I think, is going to benefit from this. That's going to help producers. That's going to probably help them within their marketing plans. Hopefully, if they're close to a soy crush facility, maybe there's some premium opportunities there. I think longer term, we could start to see maybe some ethanol plants. I've seen a few reports of ethanol plants maybe starting to look at whether they can qualify for 45Z with some of this new understanding. Does that create maybe a 5 to 10 cent premium for farmers? Maybe. Now, that's not going to move the needle for a farmer being able to afford to implement new climate smart ag practices, but 5 to 10 cents, every penny is going to help with where we're at with current prices. So I think that's an opportunity. And also just their investment with their state and national commodity groups, being able to encourage potential financial incentives from the industry, but government support. As I mentioned, Nebraska, Minnesota, Illinois have state incentives. Looking for, you mentioned Denver, there's a lot of opportunities for these facilities to be located closer to those major cities, those major airports that have a lot of planes coming in and out, because there's an added cost to ship that fuel. So if you have that produced closer to a facility, a major airport hub, there's some advantages there too. So I would just say, farmers, SAF isn't here today. It may be 6 to 10 years, but what happens today will benefit them in the next couple of years too.
Jackie Facca, lead economist, farm supply and biofuels for CoBank. Always good to talk with you. Thanks for joining us here on AOA. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Jesse.
Coming up next, we're going to talk headlines from Capitol Hill with Jerry Hagstrom from the Hagstrom Report. Back with more on AOA right after this.
This home title theft. It's on the rise, and it's devastating if it happens to you. Listen to the alarming words of an actual home title thief.
I don't need to know your date of birth and social security number. All I have to do is go to public records, create a document, and file that document. And then I can borrow against the house or sell the house. You may have no clue until you find out that your house has been sold or till several loans or several banks are foreclosing on you.
For pennies a day, Home Title Lock puts a virtual barrier of protection around your home's title with 24/7 monitoring. The instant they detect any tampering, you'll get an alert. And that's bad news for home title thieves. So when's the last time you checked on the title to your home? Find out if you're already a victim with your free title scan and complete title report. $100 value free with sign up. Just go to HomeTitleLock.com and sign up in minutes. That's HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-616-9695. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-616-9695. That's 800-616-9695. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
The Wounded Warrior Project event. I didn't know what to expect, but it felt like everyone understood me. We got each other. So I got more involved. I joined support groups with other women warriors, and it helped me realize a new purpose in my life.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 10 million people. Without destroying your credit, they can reduce your interest rates, lower your total payments up to 50% to get you out of debt fast. For a free consultation, call Consolidated Credit now. The program works.
Call 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547.
Consolidated Credit Solutions Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Kansas CSO 0019051. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 892. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC83. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action. Actual interest rates, length of program, and monthly payment reductions will vary by consumer and creditor. Yours could be higher or lower. Not a loan company. We do not lend money.
When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't risk losing the trusted news, traffic, sports, and weather you get from AM radio stations. It's time to make your voice heard. We need Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars. When internet and cell services are out, AM could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA as we continue here today. Of course, we are getting into the August recess on Capitol Hill, but that doesn't mean there hasn't been plenty of news and headlines from the Senate and from the House here as we get wrapped up with July and move into August. Joining us to get us caught up and up to speed on what we've been seeing and hearing, Jerry Hagstrom with the Hagstrom Report. Jerry, it is great to talk with you again. Hope all is well.
Well, it is well. Actually, I'm in North Dakota today, and it's 64 degrees this morning, and I'm very happy to be out of the heat and humidity of Washington. But I expect the Senate to leave this weekend, and we'll have a month without congressional activity.
Well, it's always good to get out of D.C. every now and then, I imagine. And I know it's been a very, very busy few weeks on Capitol Hill. I'd love to start with the commentary on the USDA reorganization plans. And I know earlier in the week there was a hearing on the Hill with Deputy Secretary of Agriculture Stephen Vaden. Talk about what came out of that hearing and what are you seeing from folks in terms of what they're saying about the USDA's reorganization plans.
Well, first the facts. The Trump administration wants a reorganization of USDA that would include closing the South Building, the half of the USDA presence in Washington, and also the Beltsville Research Center, as well as a couple of smaller buildings. They also want to move 2,600 of the 4,600 employees of the Agriculture Department in the Washington area out to 5 hubs around the country. So there was this hearing with Stephen Vaden, the deputy secretary, who is in charge of this project. And I'd have to say that the senators who are expecting more federal employees near them are very happy with it, of course. But some very important people were asking questions about why didn't the administration consult with Congress? Why have they chosen these five hubs, which are not really in big production areas? And Vaden said their number one reason is they want to locate USDA employees in places where the cost of living is not so high. The cost is so high in Washington that it's hard to attract talent. Now they're going to have a 30-day consultation period with everybody, including Congress, and so we'll have to see what kind of, I would have to say, protest there is against some of these moves. The biggest issue is the likelihood they'll lose a lot of skilled and experienced people who won't want to make the move. And yet, of course, I would say the Trump administration would be thrilled to bring in young talent. So that's kind of where it stands right now.
And it's to that point, it's been a contention, I would say, from folks against this reorganization. They're fearful that we're going to lose a lot of expertise in the USDA for in favor of possibly bringing in younger talent. So that's kind of an interesting thing to think about. And it's something that, Jerry, I'd say it's going to have to play out. And it remains to be seen how this all unfolds.
Yes, I'm going to be very interested in what all the ag groups have to say about this over the next month, because the consultation period began on the 29th of July, and it will conclude before Congress comes back. So it's going to be very important for all these people to speak up about what's important to them. Senator Schiff from California said, well, it's nice you're going to move people closer to California in Salt Lake City. That's one of the hubs. But he said, I think my constituents don't want to lose the expertise of the people that are working in the Washington office. So that, I would say, that pretty much sums up what the feeling is.
I know the House Agriculture Committee as well this past week had a pretty lengthy hearing with folks talking about the Make America Healthy Again Commission. Can you talk about what that hearing had to say as we continue to examine the MAHA movement?
Yes, of course. Yes. A lot of people in agriculture are worried about the Make America Healthy Commission, which is chaired by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., because the first commission report was critical of crop protection tools such as glyphosate and atrazine. And there's another report that's supposed to come out in August with recommendations on what to do about the MAHA Commission's findings. And so the ag groups are saying to the White House, you have to pay attention to science, and science has proven that these tools are successful, and that if we can't use them, we're going to have lots of weeds and our yields are going to go down. So again, we're going to be interested to see if the Trump administration listens to this. The complication here is that President Trump believes that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and his Make America Healthy Again movement put him over the top and put him in office. So Trump goes along with what a lot of Kennedy wants. But, you know, it's still a debate, and I think it's going to depend on, who gets the president's ear at the last moment.
Final minute here, Jerry. Anything else you are watching from Capitol Hill right now?
Well, the Senate is supposed to be finishing the Senate Agricultural Appropriations Bill for 2026, but it's all mired in conflict now over other bills, and we don't know whether it's going to get done. Also, they did confirm Tyler Clarkson as the general counsel at USDA. There's about a half a dozen other nominations still pending. Trump wants the Senate to stay in, but the senators really don't want to do that. They want to go back to their districts or have time off during August.
Jerry, good to talk with you again. Thanks as always for joining us here on Agriculture of America. We'll talk to you again real soon.
That's great. Always love to talk to your listeners.
Jerry Hagstrom with the Hagstrom Report, helping us close things out here today on AOA. Coming up on our next show, we'll talk with Darren Newsom from Bar Chart, weather with DTN's John Baranek, and we'll hear from Kansas Senator Roger Marshall. For now, thanks for joining us on AOA. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
What's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Hi. I'm your kid's old jeans. I've been in the drawer for a while and really miss the playground. You should swing by Goodwill and drop me off. Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. Plus, I can get back into the game. Donate today. Tag, you're it.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Every 65 seconds, someone in the United States develops Alzheimer's disease. Many don't even know it.
I just knew that I wasn't the high-performing person I used to be. Pieces of my past are being erased.
A couple years ago, I was in the bathroom at the airport when I dropped my smartphone in the toilet. Not smart. I was multitasking when I should have been focused on the job at hand. Embarrassing, but I'm not alone. According to Google, 7 million other multitaskers accidentally dropped their phones into the bowl last year. A gentle reminder that right now you can get yourself a brand new Samsung Galaxy A36 absolutely free with a $35 plan from PureTalk. The A36 comes with scratch-resistant Gorilla Glass and a battery that'll last all day, along with unlimited talk, text, and data on America's most dependable 5G network. In other words, it's tough and smart. Something to think about next time you're multitasking in the necessary. Just dial #250, say keyword micro to get your free phone today. You can make the switch in just 10 minutes. That's #250. Say micro to switch to a no-nonsense smartphone and a company that actually stands for something. Pure Talk.
Real Country, 1430 AM stereo. WRDN. Durand, Downsville, Pepin. And 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. After a weaker-than-expected jobs report showing 73,000 hires for July and downward revisions for